Sports Time Radio. All sports, all the time. Friday edition of Sports Time Radio. I'm the Big Jack, and I probably shouldn't have eaten all that candy before we started. But as you know, I mentioned yesterday that Dan was going to take a bit of an extended Christmas break. And if you look at your clock, and it's 5 o'clock, and we're rolling, that of course means Schaumburg Stew is here.
I'm here, ready to go. What's going on, John?
Oh, you know, the usual fun stuff. But all right, you want to call in and talk to Stu and I? 646-478-3753 is the number to do that. If not, feel free to email us, sportstimeradio@hotmail.com. Anything else you need, get yourself over to sportstimeradio.com. Now, you know, the blogs go up on Wednesdays and Saturday mornings, so you can expect a new one of them tomorrow morning, so make sure you're over there to check it out. Of course, while you're at sportstimeradio.com, you want to hit that link, get yourself over to the Sports Time Radio Facebook page. If you could like that while you're over there, we'd greatly appreciate that. And don't forget, there's also the Sports Time Radio Twitter feed, which is at Sports Time Radio. Now, we're still waiting for Stu to get on Twitter, but I am out there at Burke Time. So one of these days, we're going to surprise you, and he's going to have a Twitter account. But not yet.
That'll,
so check me out at Burke Time. I can forward you messages. He did just get an iPad, folks, so we're getting close. Or I guess technically your wife got an iPad, right?
Yes. Yes, she did. And still trying to piece her way through it. And doing better, though. She's doing better.
Well, when you get yours, we'll download the Twitter app, and you can get out there and start tweeting.
That's
they increased it now. You can go 280 characters now instead of 140,
wow.
So you can say double what you do before.
So, yeah, for sure.
So, but you know, I did see kind of sad news to start. I saw that Dick Enberg passed away overnight.
Yes.
He was 82 years old. Now, I remember him as a kid growing up. It seemed that he called everything, you know, every major sporting event Dick Enberg was at. But I know as of late, he'd been doing Padre games. Did you get to hear a lot of them?
No. I've known about him and seen him for years in various sports programs. Do you know what was the cause of his death? Was he sick? Had he been in poor health?
No, you know, they hadn't said anything. I guess just apparently, you know, they got suspicious when he missed the flight. He was supposed to go on his way to Boston for the holiday. So when they did a wellness check on him, you know, his daughter called to do a wellness check, and sadly he had passed away. But it just appears to be from just natural causes. And, I guess at 82 that'll happen.
Well, I'm actually really feel good, John.
Yeah. Well, you're not there yet, are you?
Well, I'll be 80 in a couple months.
Oh, see, you got plenty of time, plenty.
Oh yeah, hell, I'm
so
ready to rock and roll.
But your father lived to what, 100 plus? You're going to be around for a long time, so.
Yeah, I'm still waiting to make my ring debut in wrestling, and maybe you can manage me. I'll be the oldest wrestler in history.
You know, Dan and I will be gone, and it'll be you, Rich, and Mike doing the podcast every day here, you know. So
yeah, the trio. That's right.
You know.
Right.
So, yeah, you know, I looked at some of Enberg's superlatives. How's this for a career? You know, besides working for the various networks, NBC, CBS, ESPN, how about 28 Wimbledons, 10 Super Bowls, 8 NCAA men's basketball title games, And one of them was the Magic Johnson Michigan State against Larry Bird, and I believe he was Indiana State back in 1979.
Right.
So not a bad career.
Yeah, he has a heck of a resume that he has that's going to be with him always. And he had a great career, no doubt about it.
Yeah,
No, and then as an announcer.
No, nothing. You know, as an announcer, he won the Baseball Hall of Fame Ford Frick Award in 2015. For football, he won the Roselle Award in 1999. And then for basketball, he won what they have as the Gowdy Award in 1995, along with 13 sports Emmys. So, yeah, you could probably say he had a pretty good career.
Yeah, for sure. It's nice to have someone who had a good career like that, not being caught out for the various scandals going around in the entertainment business.
Yeah. So, yeah, definitely. You know, I haven't heard any negative reports or anything about him. And, you know, I got to listen to quite a bit of them when we started getting the free MLB extra innings package. You know, one of the things I like to do is stay up late and watch the West Coast game so I could hear Vin Scully and then Dick Enberg. And, you know, they are just far and away so much better than anybody we've got going on now. So.
Yeah, for sure. It's amazing how Scully was able to transfer over from radio to TV without any kind of a problem whatsoever because, of course, he initially was the Dodgers radio broadcaster, but went over to TV and a very low-key guy and a terrific, terrific announcer.
So, yeah, you know, and then to do it by himself is just amazing. You know, because everybody works with somebody else, and I know some guys even work with, you know, three-man booths. But, you know, Vin all by himself.
Yeah, and he was close to 90 when he retired.
Yeah. So, you know, but, you know, speaking of retirement, you know, it looks like, you know, we're only going to have Hawk Harrelson for, what is it, 20 games this year?
But not at Wrigley Field, you know that. He will not be at Wrigley Field this year.
Yeah, he definitely ain't going to Wrigley. Now, you know, Dan can't stand Hawk Harrelson. He doesn't bother me. I get some humor out of some of the stuff he says. What's kind of your take on him here locally?
Telling the truth, I've always enjoyed Hawk. He's certainly a homer personified, but he was always fun to listen to. Some of his catchphrases were cute and a little feisty on occasion. Remember a few times when he used to yell at the umpire during the game, and of course they toned him down with that. But he really said it like it was, and it was fun when he was teamed up with Jimmy Pearsall because those. Talk about the odd couple. Those guys are incredible announcers. And it was funny. I remember one time when Pearsall was the color guy, and they were going through an endless debate on the mound, you know, to whether or not they should change a pitcher, and the whole infield was gathered around, and Pearsall just says, "Come on, let's play ball. This is what the White Sox were doing this, too." It was the home team. He didn't care. He did not care. And they were fun to listen to.
I actually learned something today that you can relate to. There is a horse named Duck Snort? Is that what he calls those little bloopers races the harness? Yeah, it's a harness racing horse, and they named it after Hawk Harrelson's catchphrase, or one of them.
Well, that's funny. When he used some of his catchphrases, really became very famous. Like, I think he was the one that came up with the big hurt, was he not?
Yeah, he was. I believe, originally, I don't remember what it was, but Frank Thomas had a different nickname. And Harrelson came up with the big hurt. So, you know, I believe he probably gets credit for coming up with a lot of those, you know, White Sox nicknames.
He did. Of course, he came up with a few cliches, too, that were not original. Like, that's a can of corn. And there was a little pop-up to the outfield, among others.
I get a kick out of it. You know, I always like when there's a fly ball, and he's like, "Don't worry, we got a man there." So
yeah,
you know.
we got it covered. So there's no truth to the rumor that he's going to be replacing Lynn Casper anytime soon, right?
Yeah, no, I don't see that happening. You know, Lynn, him and good old Jim DeShays, not exactly my favorite broadcast duo, you know, even with the Cup winning, they seem to get sidetracked a little too much for me.
Yeah, and you and me both, and over the years, when the Cubs weren't doing so well, you might excuse it, but I don't want to hear who has the best cover on the heavy metal song and during the ninth inning of a ball game, or what city has the best hot fudge sundae? And they have, I have, I remember hearing both of those coming out of the lips of Mr. Casper.
Yeah, it's odd how, you know, his go-to seems to be food. Anytime there's some type of delay or anything going on, he just kind of immediately starts talking about food. And I'm just wondering if maybe he's not eating enough before the broadcast.
I don't know. But the funny thing about it, I think we emailed about this. A couple of years ago, he did the Fox Cub game, nationally televised on Fox, and completely different announcer. It was actually enjoyable to listen to. But unfortunately, he doesn't do that when the Cubs, when he's doing the Cub home games via Comcast or whatever channel.
Yeah, I mean, you wonder if they realize, being that it's Fox and it's nationwide, they have to be more professional.
Yeah, and he certainly was entirely different than I was used to hearing from him. But we're in the minority, right? You and I are in the minority when we don't like Casper and Deshaies very much, but I think that they're quite popular, and they have signed another contract, I'm sure.
Yeah, I guess maybe they relate to, younger fans better than, maybe you and I or something like that do, being a tad older. But yeah, I want you to tell me what's going on in the game, and especially Deshaies. I mean, the guy's got major league experience. You know, let me know what you're thinking. I mean, Steve Stone can sit in the booth and literally tell you what the pitcher is trying to do and what he's going to throw next. And I don't understand why Deshaies can't take some of that and use it.
And he, as you mentioned, he's a former major leaguer and he should be able to do that, but he just doesn't seem to do it like Stoney. Boy, I really miss having him in the booth. But
yeah, God, he is so good for the Mad White Sox team.
Right. I think the new announcer they have, I forgot his name already, the White Sox announcer, it seems like he has good potential to have a nice career. I think he does a pretty good job.
Yeah, what if it's like Jason Benintendi or something like
that's
that,
right.
I believe.
That's right. And he's local. Isn't he a local from the Chicago area?
Yeah, I believe he is. Yeah, I believe so. I didn't know, much about him, but, he's definitely, you could tell, like, the first year – he was a little tentative, kind of getting his feet wet, but last year he was much better. And I think slowly as Hawk fades away, he'll make the job his own.
Yeah, with the Hawk only doing 20 games next year, I'm sure he'll do the probably the opener, three games or four games against the Cubs. Not at Wrigley Field, of course.
Yes. Guaranteed rate field. Yes, we can't forget that that's what it's called now.
Now, has he ever enumerated why he doesn't like Wrigley Field? I mean, he doesn't like the press box? He's not thrilled with the press box? Or what is it that he doesn't like?
I'm sure he's mentioned it, but I don't remember, what it is or, anything like that. I mean, I know there's, many players who don't like the clubhouse, but, that shouldn't affect Hawk Harrelson.
Aren't they building a new clubhouse for the visitors?
Boy, you would hope so. I remember Ozzie Guillen hated the clubhouse, the White House manager.
I heard they were doing that, and I don't know if it'll be ready next year or the year after, but I'm sure it'll be a big improvement, and maybe not as comparable as the Cub clubhouse, but it's supposed to be a lot better than it is now.
Yeah, I'm sure any upgrade would be... would be a big positive there. I mean, what can you expect? I mean, the stadium is how old now?
Well, what is it? Is it 100 years old? No, I don't think it's quite that much. Maybe about 90 years old? Yeah, got to be close to 100. Got to be close to 100 years.
When you're going to places like, Wrigley or Fenway or, those kind of older ballparks, you got to kind of expect that. You're gonna be a little inconvenienced, but hey, it's still better than Oakland.
That's for sure. Well, you got to say that the Ricketts have really put a lot of money into trying to refurbish the ballpark, and they have done a lot. since they've been in.
Yeah, they had a good plan, you know, coming in. They definitely had an idea of what they wanted to do, and you know how they were going to go about doing it, was repairing everything and buying up the properties around this, you know, the stadium and stuff. So
yeah, they have done quite a bit, and one can only hope that the dynasty will be as long as they expected, because I don't know, there certainly was a little bit of regression last year, but that could be because of the World Series, and we'll see how they bounce back in 2018.
Yeah, now, you know, just, you know, sticking with, you know, baseball here, but switching gears a little bit, I caught this report yesterday and I ran it by Dan, but you being the Cub fan as well, I wanted to kind of throw this at you. Now, you know, all the talk is the Orioles are looking to move Manny Machado, but their asking price is two major league ready or close to major league ready young starting pitchers. Now, apparently the Cubs went to them with an offer, and they were willing to give them Mike Montgomery, Addison Russell, and Alberto Almora for Manny Machado. Now, it doesn't quite fit the bill of what the Orioles are looking for, but what, you know, is that a deal you would have been interested in?
Absolutely not. I would not consider that at all. That's a bad move on the Cubs' part, and I don't think they would even you may hear the rumor going around, but I don't think they would have actually consider that kind of a transaction. What's your take on it? What do you guys say?
You know, the tough part is I don't think it would have been enough to get Machado. I think you would have needed a name like Baez or Schwarber in there to get the Orioles to bite, because obviously, you know, Montgomery isn't a young starting pitcher. Do we know what Addison Russell or Alberto Almora are yet? I mean, I know Russell, obviously a great defender, but he doesn't hit for a high average, and we didn't see Almora play enough to really know what he is.
Well,
so
he was
it's
pretty solid. Yeah, he was solid though in the time he hit close to 300 last year, and I think that get a little more experience under his belt, I think he can be like Sandberg and start to pop more home runs than he normally does now. You remember when Sandberg was in the league for the first couple of years, two or three years, he didn't hit much in the way of power. But he certainly developed that over after he got some seasoning. And I think Almora can do the same thing, because he's got some pop in his bat.
You know, it's odd that, you know, how much they promote him. And, you know, I mean, I was dying to see him play all last year. It just really seems like, you know, I don't know if it's Joe Maddon or maybe it's the front office, but it really seems like they don't like him, you know, like he's not part of their plan. I mean, I got sick of seeing Ben Zobrist in right while Jason Hayward moved over to center, while you have Alberto Almora on the, you know, the bench, and Zobrist is hitting 230, but he's out there all the time because he's Madden's guy. And you know, it was just kind of like, man, are we gonna get a chance to see this guy, or you know, what are they gonna do with him?
How many games did he play last year? You might have. He played over 100 games?
Yeah. You know, if he did, it was only because of, you know, pinch hit duty and
pinch hitting and getting in late.
Let me use Dan's favorite engine, Bing, here, and I can get you his stats. He appeared in actually 132 games, but he only had 299 at bats.
Well, you know, that was a part-time deal for sure. He needs more at bats.
So, and he did hit 298. So
yeah, I told you he was very solid, didn't I? I saw him. I don't know if you saw this on the internet today, but I saw one of the many speculations saying that Zobrist might be done. They think that his skills have eroded, and he's not a youngster. He's what, 36? And some guys lose it at that age. A few can go longer than that, but a lot of careers are finished when I hit 36, 37. So he certainly didn't give me much confidence with the year he had last year. Granted, he did have a lot of injuries, but you do get those injuries when you start getting older. So whether he can bounce back this year and be productive, I don't know. He claims he's going to coming real hard and heavy to make up for last year, but I'm not sure if that's going to happen.
He is 36. He'll be 37 in May. So, you know, I did hear, you know, Joe Maddon at the winter meetings, you know, he had his interviews talking about Zobrist, and, you know, apparently he's, you know, he's still right there front and center in Madden's mind, and he talked about how, you know, he's going to play the outfield. But, you know, don't forget, not only does Zobrist do $16.5 million this year, he's got a contract for next year at $12.5 million. So the Cubs are still into him for quite a chunk of change these next couple of years. And I don't know why they went 4 years.
Yeah, that was a big deal they gave him. And it's sad to see a guy have to take a salary cut the next year, right? I mean, my goodness. To go from $16 million a year to $12 million a year. I don't know how he could do it, but I guess he'll survive somehow.
What a shame, huh?
What a shame.
Yeah,
really. You feel sorry for the guy. That's, you know, what 25?
Well, yeah, look here. He only hit 232 last year.
Yeah, he had a bad year. And I'm sure injuries were a factor, but once again, those injuries do happen when you get older. Can he avoid those injuries this year? I don't see, you know, I'm not quite sure about how he's going to fare in 2018.
Yeah, you know, I can't see the playing time for him. You know, you got to stop taking at bats away from guys like Javier Baez and Elmora, like we mentioned, and even, you know, Addison Russell, you know, or some extreme cases, Kyle Schwarber. You know, you can't take the bat out of these guys' hand to make sure Ben Zobrist is getting, you know, his at-bats in. He really, you know, needs to be basically a very expensive bench player who just gives guys days off.
Right. And at the stands right now, who's going to be the everyday left fielder for the Cubs?
You know, I mean, I'm sure they're still going to go with Schwarber. You know, I mean, he's... You know, he's the guy they're banking on. What I'm interested in is who's the, you know, that extra outfielder they're going to sign like John Jay last year.
Have they ever thought about getting Jay back for another season?
Yeah, you know, oddly, as surprising as it is, it hasn't come up. I thought maybe it would be something they would look into. But I hadn't heard much about him at all with anybody, and with the year he had, I thought maybe, you know, a team like Kansas City, who's looking to lose just a ton of talent, you know, might come knocking on his door and give him an everyday job.
Yeah, you would think that, and he certainly was a solid ball player for the Cubs last year, and throughout his career, he's always been a solid ball player. And fact that he doesn't hit for a lot of power is a factor, I don't know. But he's a heck of a player.
Yeah, he did a fantastic job for the Cubs last year. I mean, you know, oddly, it was one of those situations where he played a lot more than I thought he was going to. But again, you know, that kind of goes back to the fact that I just don't think Maddon likes Almora. I don't think he likes his skill set, and he just doesn't seem to use him.
And I don't know why he doesn't like him. I mean, his defense, for the most part, is terrific. I mean, he made some terrific plays for the Cubs. I mean, I think he made an error or two, but by and large, his defense is very solid.
Yeah.
Well, even Hayward made an error last year.
you know, of course, the big thing now is, you know, the talk is the Cubs still need one more starting pitcher.
Right.
You know, unless they're finally going to give Mike Montgomery the opportunity to do it. You know, they had Yu Darvish in. There was some news that he agreed to a deal with the Cubs, but Yu himself actually got on, you know, on social media and said it was fake news that has happened. The names are out there. You know, Jake Arrieta is still out there. Alex Cobb is out there. I'm reading now that Alex Cobb is asking for $20 million a year. Who the hell is going to pay this guy that?
Nobody. Nobody. I think these guys are going to have to tone it down a little bit before they get signed, including Mr. Arrieta. And Cobb is asking for way too much.
Well, here, I got some numbers on Cobb for you. he's never made 30 starts in a season. His high was last year when he made 27. Just 10-9. Now, his ERAs have been really good the last 2 years. It was 287 with, you know, good old Tan. Oh, no, wait, I'm way off there. He made 29 starts last year, 12-10 with an ERA of 366. But remember, in 2016, he had Tommy John surgery, only made five starts.
Right.
So, you know, I mean, is this a guy you're going, oh, yeah, we'll give you 5 years and $100 million. Here you go. Yeah. Sign this.
If you were to make a selection, you're an astute baseball man. Who would you rather have, Darvish or Cobb?
Oh, you know, it's, you know, if they're going to be the same price, I'm going to take Darvish. You know, he definitely
I agree.
Yeah, looks to be more of the quality starter there. I mean, I know, you know, Cobb has had his moments, but you know, all he's done is pitch for Tampa Bay. I mean, Darvish had playoff experience with Texas. You know, he went to the World Series with the Dodgers, even though he was dipping his pitches. So,
yeah,
you know,
yeah,
they can fix that. Darvish is only a year old.
Yeah, you're certainly in agreement with myself. And also, I think for the majority of the Cub writers, I think if they had to make a choice, I think they would take a Darvish also. So it's possible. Maybe the Cubs are honing in on getting Darvish, although he denied the rumor, fake news, right? Which is pretty funny when he did that.
Yeah.
Right? He was channeling Mr. Trump, our president, right? When he did that, which I thought was amusing. But who knows? Maybe something will happen next week at least. We can only hope.
Yeah, you know, I know a lot of these guys like to know where they're going to be playing by Christmas. So obviously, we're right in that window, so we're getting a lot of moves and a lot of signings. You know, obviously, if you have, you know, family and kids and stuff, you've got to be able to get situated for, you know, the school year or the summer or whatever, you know, you've kind of got going on there.
Yeah.
So, you know, hopefully we'll start to see, you know, a lot of movement. But then, you know, the other guy we mentioned, we didn't jump in on real quick, Jake Arrieta's contract demands of $200 million. I get it. You want to aim high, but who's going that route?
Nobody, as far as I could see. I don't think the Twins or the Brewers or any other team is going to pay him that money. And I think he's regressed a little bit, and he's 32, and what does he want, a 4 or 5 year deal? That would be insane.
Well, you figure if you're going $200 million, you've got to go 7 years.
Which is
so, you know, you're looking at a
39 years old. He's
right.
39,
at,
right?
You know, and I get it. You know, he's got the yoga thing going on, and he's in fantastic shape for, you know, a guy his age. He, you know, he doesn't have a big-time injury history or anything, but you know, I know left-handers hang around longer because, well, they're left-handed and it's a kind of a novelty, but, you know, how many right-handed 39-year-old starters are there? Maybe Justin Verlander? Is he to 39 yet?
There yet, but he's getting close to it.
Yeah. You know, but, yeah, I just want, you know, when I saw those contract demands, I was just kind of like, Who's paying this? God, I was way off. Verlander's only 34. Sorry, Justin, I didn't mean
okay.
to insult you there.
Okay.
I think I'm just jealous of the Kate Up thing. So,
right. But think about it though. Think about his year last year. How many times did he pitch past six innings? And how many?
Yeah, well,
times
sadly,
did he have trouble with his control issues too. His control issues, inconsistency. I just can't see paying a guy that kind of money.
Yeah, you know, sadly, with the way, you know, pitchers are handled now, you know, six innings is going to be the norm, you know, for these guys, and then they're going to drop it in on the bullpen. So,
yeah.
But you mentioned regress now. You know, when he started with the Cubs, his first full year with the Cubs was 2014. You know, he made 25 starts, he had a 2.53 ERA, and then he broke out and he had the Cy Young winning year, 33 starts, was 22-6, 177 ERA. 2016, he made 31 starts, and he still won 18 games, but the ERA crept up to 3.10. Then last year, he made 30 starts. He was 14-10, but the ERA jumped up again to 3.57. So you have to wonder if we're on kind of a trend here with this, and it's just going to continue to go up little by little, and the next thing you know, you're sitting at 4, and you're paying, you know, you got a guy on a $2 million contract who's got an ERA of 4+. Then what do you do?
Yeah, which is why I would be very reluctant to give him what he's asking, or even something close to it. And these guys are going to have to tone it down, I think. I don't think anybody's going to pay him that kind of money that he's asking right now.
Yeah, well, you know, what I've noticed is with all these guys, really, let's face it, they have ludicrous demands. What it's really done is pumped up the trade market. And, you know, teams are kind of taking shots at guys that maybe you wouldn't think they would trade. You know, like the new rumor out is the Pirates and the Yankees are in what I've read from a couple different quality sources, guys like John Heyman and Ken Rosenthal and stuff, that they're in pretty heated talks to get a Gerrit Cole deal done and send them to the Yankees. I guess the sticking point is the Pirates want Gleyber Torres as the signature guy, but the Yankees want Clint Frazier. So
the way it stands right now, would you have to say the Yankees are the favorites in the AL East for next season? I would have to think.
Oh, boy, you know, with the add of Stanton and, you know, bringing CC back at the end of the rotation, I think they do need one more starter. And oddly, I don't know if they need to go out and try to get a possible stud guy like Cole. I think they could use just a solid 3-4 guy to get the job done. But, hey, when you're the Yankees, I mean, you shoot for the moon, right?
Right, and sky's the limit in terms of money for them. And you know they're going to go over the cap.
Yeah, I mean, they don't care, with the money that team makes. And, I mean, you know, even now without Cole, their rotation is, you know, Luis Severino, who had a fantastic rookie year. Remember, they picked up Sonny Gray. They still have Masahiro Tanaka. But, you know, Jordan Montgomery was really solid for them, and then they got CeCe at the back of it there. So, you know, if they don't land a Gerrit Cole or, you know, sign another, you know, guy, they're okay.
Maybe get someone a little bit less talented than Cole. Maybe a guy who wins 10, 12 games, 13 games, and I think they would do probably well with him too.
Yeah, you know, and on a Yankee, with that Yankee offense, I mean, if you've got a guy who can just keep you in games, you know, he could blink an eye and be a 17-game winner just because the numbers they're going to put up.
Yes, that's right. That's right.
So, but, you know, sadly, on the other side of that deal, it looks like the Pirates are going down that road again, because not only are they in talks to get to maybe possibly deal Gerrit Cole, they're looking to deal guys like Josh Harrison and, again, Andrew McCutchen. So it looks like they're...
His name has been bandied about for years, but he's still there. And he had a nice bounce-back year for them last year. Certainly a more McCutchen-type season than he did the previous year.
Yeah, it just looks like we're going into flat-out rebuild mode again in Pittsburgh. So, Pirate fans, I'm sorry. If they deal all three of those guys, you're going to lose 100 games for probably 3 or 4 years before you can rebuild it and give it another shot. And I know you do have some talented outfielders, Starling Marte, and I'm drawing a blank on the other guy. I always forget his name. And I know they had a big-time prospect. But it's sad to see a guy like McCutchen go, who I actually like. So it'll be interesting. I mean, who knows? The Giants are looking for a center fielder. Maybe he ends up there.
Yeah, the Giants have to bounce back from a horrendous year last year. Of course, they had injuries, but no one expected them to be that bad.
Yeah, you know, it was odd how bad Johnny Cueto and Jeff Samardzija were for them. You know, I mean, it really looked like they were kind of on to something with the signings, and it was like, oh, man, they've got a really good rotation going. And it just, I don't know how or why or whatever, but it just fell flat on their face for whatever reason.
I've never been a big fan of Samardzija. And Brandt, he doesn't, you know, he's very solid in terms of injuries. He's always puts in a lot of innings a year, but he's never impressed me all that much. I mean, he's inconsistent. I guess maybe that would be the best word.
Yeah. Well, you know, I thought a guy who was going to be down as a number three or even a number four starter in that Giants rotation, that he could be very good. But, you know, then once the injuries happened, you know, I mean, it kind of started to rely on him and Matt Moore. And they, you know, they both had been, you know, Matt Moore had been a really good pitcher for Tampa Bay for a long time, and he just scuffled with San Francisco.
Horrible.
You know, but
horrible.
Like Johnny Cueto only made 25 starts. Bumgarner only made 17 because of that stupid four-wheeler injury. So, you know, I wonder if they'll be, you know, the bounce back team, if everybody comes back healthy, if they're going to be the guys that maybe sneak up and surprise.
Yeah, but when you think of all the good teams in that division, though, they're going to have their hands full.
It's going to be ugly.
The Dodgers. Yeah, it's not going to be easy for them.
And don't forget Colorado. So, but, you know, like, I think the add of Longoria was a really good move for them. You know, he's definitely going to add to that. I think he may be on a little bit of a downside, but he's a huge step up over having to see Pablo Sandoval try to play every day.
Yeah, for sure. No doubt about that. They improved themselves when they got him.
So, yeah, it's, you know, just, you know, I know, I believe they're an outfielder to possibly shy. You know, they've got to come up with something. I know they're talking about playing a prospect in center field, but I know they're also in on Billy Hamilton. And, you know, it seems like this year, any outfielder who's out there, the Giants are in on him. It doesn't matter who he was. I heard they were interested in Jay Bruce. And so I guess apparently they're going to end up figuring out some outfielders here sooner or later.
Eventually they're going to have to come up with a couple of outfielders, and Hamilton would be an interesting choice.
Yeah.
Or Jay Bruce.
Well, you know, Hamilton could really cover some ground in that big outfield.
And
so,
steal a few bases via two, of course. As long as he doesn't get hurt.
You know, and I do know, I just saw this announcement now. I know, you know, as a Cub fan, you're incredibly concerned about their bullpen. Well, today they have signed Anthony Bass to a contract, and I know you're wondering who he is. Well, last year he pitched with Texas, did only get in two games, and had a 14.29 ERA.
Yeah, I saw that.
I'll try to reassure you. So in 2016 he pitched in Japan. All right, he was 8-8. And he actually, did he make some starts? Yeah, it looks like he started 14 games, but he was 8-8 with a 3.65 ERA. So, but yeah, that's, I guess they're going to give him a look in the bullpen. So, there you go.
He wasn't signed to go to the big club, was he? Isn't he going to start in Iowa? Or am I thinking about somebody
check
else?
For you. Yeah, they do say it's a minor league pact, so it's the minor league deal with an invite to spring training. So,
well, I wouldn't hold your breath about this guy making the club. Let's put it that way.
Yeah, the route he is taking there, that's where they're going to go there. But yeah, that was their signing today. And, you know, I always like to run their signings by you. So.
Right, and you could see how excited I am with that move. Well, as long as we're talking about the Cubs, I have to ask you something. Now, these guys are no longer rookies. I'm talking about free swingers in the Cubs. Will Baez ever get it? Will he ever become a situational hitter now that he's had a couple of years of experience? Even Chris Bryan, the same thing. Or are they always going to strike out and swing at pitches on the ground just when it hurts the most?
Yeah, I think, you know, with the new way the game has gone, and I keep bringing that up all the time, but that's the way it is. You know, with strikeouts no longer mattering, guys are going to strike out a bunch, you know, because there's no emphasis anymore on putting the ball in play or moving a guy over or, you know, giving yourself up for, you know, the team. It's all about your numbers and what you do and how they play out for you. So, yeah, we're going to see the big 200 strikeouts. You know, like we talked a little about the Yankees, you know, it's great that Judge and Stanton will probably combine for 100 home runs. They're also going to combine for 400-plus strikeouts.
Right. That's the downside of three swingers like that.
But yeah.
It's amazing. It's amazing to me how teams tolerate this thing, and they just – I guess situational hitting is almost dead, except for a handful of players.
Yeah, it is. You know, pretty much not even almost. It's literally just gone. You know, it doesn't appear to be taught. I mean, I don't even know if they teach guys how to bunt anymore, you know, at this point in time. But, you know, like Bryant, I think a lot of people may have overjudged Bryant's year and kind of made it seem like he had a bad year. You know, he really, you know, while he wasn't as good as obviously his MVP year, he wasn't too bad. And I think if Joe Maddon wouldn't have had him hitting second all year and he could have racked up a few more RBIs, there would have been a little more talk about him as a back-to-back MVP. He still finished seventh in the race as it was. But, you know, he only drove in 73 RBIs because of the place he was in the order.
Right. And what did he bat in the previous year when he had the 101 RBIs? Did he bat third? Did he bat third that year?
He batted third mostly. So, but, you know, his numbers are really comparable. You know, he played in four less games last year and he scored 10 less runs. He had 14 less hits, but he had three more doubles, one more triple, and 10 less homers, so the power numbers were down. But I think we relate that to the hand injury. You know, the RBIs were way off, 102 when he won the MVP and 73 last year. But his walks were up and his strikeouts were down last year. He only struck out 128 times to 95 walks compared to 154 and 75 when he won the MVP.
He didn't make any excuses. I have a feeling that singer must have bothered him throughout the entire season, though, as you pointed out.
Yeah, and he hit for a touch higher average. He hit 295 last year and 292 when he won the MVP. So, you know, I think his numbers were, you know, but
it wasn't a bad year, but I think it could have been. I just think it could have been better. And let's get back to strikeouts. One more time, I have to ask you this. I don't mind if a guy strikes out. If he's a free swinger and strikes out umpteen times, it's when they strike out at a pitch that bounces into home plate or 3 feet outside is what I object to. I don't mind a guy striking out as long as the pitch at least has the possibility of being hit. That's the thing that bothers me the most, especially with Baez.
Yeah, he's definitely a chaser. So... You know, I mean, but, you know, every team has one. You know, every team has multiple ones now. I mean, they're all over the league. So, you know, it's just the sad attempt at the way, you know, what baseball has become.
Yeah.
You know, sabermetrics have taken over and it's, you know, launch angle and, you know, fly ball trajectory and, oh, you know, all that other stuff there.
I'm wondering if MLB will do something with baseball, the baseballs next year. Do you think we'll see a reduction in the amount of home runs?
Yeah, I'm interested to know if or how they're going to do that. You know, because last year, you know, they tested the balls from 2016 against 2017, and the 17 balls were, I guess, as they described them, as bouncier or springier. So they definitely jumped off the bat a little more than they did in 2016. So that, you know, makes home runs up immediately. So we'll, you know, we'll see, you know, if they have a reduction this year and they go back to a little bit more of a normal baseball.
I'm wondering, it seems to me that it's such a prestige thing. In terms of the baseballs, why can't they be consistent in making the baseballs from year to year? What would cause a jump like that last year? How? I mean, they make it the same way. same horse hide and everything else, but why the difference? What did they do to make it different? I'm just wondering. It'd be interesting to find out, but I don't know.
You know, my guess is it's made to major baseballs. Yeah, it's made to Major League Baseball specifics. So if they want the ball to go farther, you know, I'm sure they hint around to their maker and say, hey, we need this. And, you know, they take care of it for them. So, you know, that's just kind of, you know, kind of the way things go.
And you think about this now. You remember when there was a strike and the fans weren't coming back? Go back a number of years, of course. And then Sosa and McGuire started to hit all these home runs. I wonder if baseball knew a little bit about the roids being used, but looked the other way to get the fans back into the ballpark.
Oh, yes. Oh, yeah. Guaranteed they knew all about it. You know, I don't think there's any doubt in anybody's mind that knows pretty much anything about baseball, that baseball knew. You know, that's what they, you know, that's what they wanted. That's what they needed. You know, they needed the interest to come back. So that's, you know, that's what they got.
And once it came back, then they started to do the clamping down on the performance enhancing drugs.
Yeah. Well, I think once they got caught, you know, once it started being known that, you know, wait, these guys have help. Because, you know, remember at the time when all those guys were taking stuff, there was no rule. You know, there were really no steroid rules in baseball or anything.
Yeah.
So.
Well, let me ask you this one thing. I've got to ask you one thing here. How did Sammy's head get so big just taking Flintstones?
Well, you know, you could ask the same thing about Barry Bonds. You know, that size increased every year.
Yeah,
so.
It's incredible. What a difference. And but it's funny when Sammy always saying, what kind of vitamins are you taking, Sammy? He said Flintstones.
You know, and, you know, the weird part about a lot of these guys is they were great players without the help. You know, Barry Bonds is a great player without steroids or whatever he took. You know, Roger Clemens, you know, they're fantastic players. You know, I think Palmeiro would have been just fine without any help. But for whatever reason, you know, I know, like, I've always heard Bonds' motivation was he wanted the home run record. So, you know, I guess that was, you know, that was his thing.
And, right now, I hope it's regulated enough so that these things don't happen very often anymore.
No, you know, I mean, I'm sure there's, you know, there's somebody out there right now trying to cheat the system. You know, I mean, that's just kind of, you know, kind of how it works out. So.
Yeah, yeah. That's why you appreciate a guy like, say, for example, Jim Thome, who, as far as I know, was clean. And Frank Thomas were clean and got their home runs in the normal way. You got to give them a lot of credit for both those guys.
Yeah, well, you know, I know, you know, I remember Thomas tried to organize the White Sox so they would all fail their drug tests by not taking them, and it would have kicked in a clause in the CBA that really would have cracked down on steroid testing, and he was talked out of it by the players' union.
Mm-hmm. That's interesting, yeah.
So, but yeah, he's definitely, you know, one of the guys very opposed to it. I mean, a Hall of Famer without help. You know, Jim told me the same thing. I mean, you go through those, you know, those guys, you know, I mean, even going back, you know, Willie Mays, Hank Aaron, you know, I mean, I don't think they had that help.
Ted Williams, for example, another one.
Yeah.
Any of those. And I don't know. I wonder if it's psychological, partially psychological. I'm taking this now. I'm for sure I'm going to start increasing my home run.
Yeah, you know, and it could be. I mean, if you take it and get results, you probably want to keep taking it.
Sure.
So, you know, it just kind of makes, you know, I don't, you know, probably makes sense in their mind going, oh, you know, hey, look at the numbers I'm putting up. I'm gonna keep doing this.
I'm really hoping that there won't be a major scandal coming up in the next few years with a top player, a guy who hits 45, 50 home runs a year, getting caught taking something illegal.
Well,
that would really
that was even
hurt.
The question this year when, you know, Stanton was on his roll and he was pushing for 60, one of the things popped up was, well, is he clean? And that's always going to be the question when a guy does anything like this.
Right. Yeah, that's right.
So,
that's unfortunate, especially if the guy is really, truly clean. And there's always going to be that stigmata behind it. He can't be hit that many home runs. He's taking something. He's just getting away with it. Even if he may not be. That, as you say, that's always going to be the thought in some people's minds.
But all right, I wanted to switch stuff up on you real quick, because I know we only got about 10 minutes left to roll here. You know, the Bulls had a 7-game winning streak going into last night, and they had a tough game against the Cavs. You know, they hung in there, but the streak is over. They're 10-21, no longer the worst team in the NBA. They're 3 games better than the Atlanta Hawks. Why is this team screwing up tanking?
Yeah, I don't know. But did you see the stats in last night's game? I thought it was very interesting. The Bulls only attempted 8 free throws for the entire game, and they actually had about 6 or 7 more baskets, field goals, than Cleveland. But Cleveland won with the free throws. 6 out of 8, that seems really abnormal for an NBA game, doesn't it?
They were on the road, so that's, you know, it's always a huge discrepancy. And you know, Bulls, you know, you got to remember, the Bulls don't have a marketable star. So, you know, they don't have anybody who's going to get calls. You know, if you breathe on LeBron too heavy, you're going to get a call. He's going to get a call.
Yeah.
And the Bulls don't have that guy. So.
But you do have to give them a credit for they played a very, very respectable game. They were down 10 in the fourth quarter and came back and had a chance to tie at the buzzer. But, of course, Valentine's shot didn't even, I don't even think it drew iron, if I remember correctly, the last shot of the game. But they certainly played a respectable game against one of the top teams in the NBA.
Yeah, you know, kind of odd how they're doing it. I mean, they played much better than I believe anybody expected. So.
And what happens when Levine comes back? Yeah, what happens when Levine comes back? Are they going to get better? Are they going to lose their chemistry? Or what's going to happen then?
Well, you know, it will be interesting to see if he even actually comes back. You know, there are reports out there that he may be out the entire season.
Wow, I didn't see that. I thought he was coming back next month, sometime next month, finally.
Report that early on when the Bulls first acquired him, that there was a chance that he may just be out the entire year. So I don't know, you know, obviously, but that was a little bit of the talk there when they first picked him up.
And if the guy is healthy, he's a terrific acquisition. But the way it stands now, if he's not close to being 100%, they should maybe let him sit out the entire season.
Obviously that's one of they'll have to watch. You know, I mean, that's why they have the the top trainers and the top staff and all that stuff. You know, they'll, you know, definitely look after the guy and make sure he's, you know, in basketball shape. And, you know, even so, when he comes back, you got to wonder, you know, how many minutes is he going to be able to log and, you know, really how much is he going to be able to handle. So.
Exactly. Of course, as you well know, another winning streak came to an end last night.
The Blackhawks lost, right? They were playing pretty well.
They were shut out. However, there is a Chicago team that won their 6th straight yesterday. I didn't know if you knew that or not. So it's not all bad.
The Sky? Oh, they're not playing.
The Wolves.
Oh.
No, the Sky doesn't. You know how much I love watching the Sky in action too, right?
Yeah,
the Wolves won their 6 in a row yesterday.
I actually did not realize that.
They are really relegated to the back page of the sports section now. Very little. I think when the Blackhawks weren't good, there was a lot of more press about the Wolves than there is now.
Yeah, it's, you know, it's got to be tough to be, you know, the minor league team, you know, in the city where, you know, the team has, you know, won cups and, you know,
right.
maybe they're going to compete. I'm not super sold on them competing for one this year, but, you know, maybe, you know, that's
right.
got to be really tough for them to be like, hey.
Yeah, look at us.
Don't forget about us.
Yeah. You know, it's so competitive now in the Western Conference, and it'll be a toss-up if they even actually make the playoffs. I mean, there's so many teams bunched right now for the last spot, and it's going to be close. It's going to be very close when it's all said and done.
Yeah, it's definitely, you know, gonna be interesting for them. I mean, the league really, you know, they were the first team to really make the switch to, you know, we're going to skate, we're going to be fast, we're going to get up and down the ice. And now the league is caught up to them. So, you know, they need to kind of find a, you know, a new mix or a new, you know, whatever it is that they can do. But yeah, it's tough. I mean, you know, there's a lot of talent out there when you see some of these NHL guys, you know, you know, the Austin Matthews, and I'm trying to think of the kid from Buffalo. I think it was Jack Eichel I saw the other night on a couple highlights that was just flying up and down the ice. Yeah, so.
Certainly the salary cap in hockey hurt the Blackhawks, but, I mean, it applies to all teams. And they wanted, the NHL wanted parity, and I guess that's what they've got.
Yeah, well, you know, the tough part with that NHL cap is it is a hard cap. There's no flexibility at all. You know, it's just kind of like, hey, this is it, and get under it. So, you know, you don't have any leeway at all.
I think it is going up a little bit, but I don't know how significant the increase is going to be.
Yeah, I saw a report that it's going to increase, but oddly, I think it's only, I want to say $4 or maybe $5 million. So it's not like a huge jump, you know, like when the NBA got that new TV contract, their salary cap went up tens of millions of dollars.
Right. Well, as we discussed, for some reason, it's the number four sport in the United States in terms of the major four sports. Hockey would be number four, although they draw very well in most markets.
Yeah, I mean, if you get a hockey market, you know, definitely you know, you get fans to show up. I mean, I understand, you know, both are, you know, out west it can be a little tough, but you know, yeah, the, you know, hockey towns draw.
They do, and it's an exciting sport, and I've seen many games, but not that many since I moved to Schaumburg, that's for sure. And it's fun to watch. It's a fun sport to watch.
Yeah, you know, it can be a little tough. You know, they get up and down the ice so fast now, it can be a little tough to keep up with. But, you know, it's see what they're doing. All right, well, hey, time for Stu and I to go. Look at that. That's what the music means. But just so you know, Stu is going to be back Tuesday with me as well. So we will be here at 5 o'clock as Dan takes a extended Christmas break. Of course, Mr. Fantasy and I will be here at 10 a.m. Sunday morning to do our fantasy football stuff and all that for you. Of course, while we're away, sportstimeradio.com. Look for that new blog tomorrow. Go over to that Facebook page. Give it a like. Don't forget the Twitter feed at sportstimeradio. You can find me on Twitter as well at Bergtime. If you have questions for Stu, send them to me and I'll ship them off to you and we'll get you your answer. As always, a big thanks for listening live, but don't forget, you could go on and listen to Stu and I anytime you want with this podcast over at TuneIn.com.